Blog Talk Radio. Down, you can bury it all. Kiss it with a grass, you can bury it in the girl's eyes. All right, there you go. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Crazy Nation Radio, and it's your host, Ron Rick. I hope everybody's had a great weekend. Last weekend, I have been missing in action for a couple fucking weeks. I've been busy with court, but guess what? We are victorious. We are victors, which you always like to hear that one. But anyway, wow, man. You know, the news has came down the line that, Maureen Taylor Greene, I guess what her name is handing down the articles for impeachment. Wow. They have been filed. Ain't that fucking something? Wow. I'm going to try to bring up this clip here in just a second, and we're going to go ahead and, wow, just in unfucking believable. This is finally, you know what I mean? Finally. But there again, we got to take a look at the scary fact of, what's her face coming and being the fucking, going to be the president. You know, I don't know. I don't even like her that much. I can't remember her bitch's name. You know, I just don't. Wow, man. what do you do? I'm telling you what, I just, okay, give me a second. I got to dial this shit in. So be patient with me. Cause I'm kind of slow. I've been so busy. I ain't had a chance to even take a shit, you know? I wonder how Joe found out when he found out she filed these. Been a mind blower for old Joe. Even if he caught on to it. You know? All right. Okay, here we go. All right. Wow, man. Wow, wow, wow. Gunslinger keeps coming in and out of my show, and I don't know what he's doing. I'm going to have to wait till you come back, Gunslinger, unless you can hear me. All right, well, I'll get this clip loaded and just wait, sit and wait for you, bro. But, yeah, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, hey, wow, you know. But the damage, so much damage has been done already. I mean, the borders are open. It's just so psychotic. And, you know, I said, my whole day, lawyer's office auction. Okay. I had to work on the audio at the auction, got straight on with the auction. I spent $27. So that's kind of a good thing, but I had money coming. So it kind of, whatever. Anyway. But I was at the lawyer's office and the secretary, she goes, Ron, have you seen this? I said, no, what are you talking about? And she threw this clip up on her phone, just came out, you know, that, you know, Major Taylor Greene has filed these articles with impeachment against Biden. I'm like, oh shit. Okay, you're back, Gun. All right, you ready to hear this clip, bro? I don't know if you heard it today yet. I don't know if you knew anything about this. This shit that she's filed these articles for impeachment against this motherfucker. But anyway, let's listen to the clip. We'll probably hear it a couple times tonight once more people show up. Anyway, let's check it out.
The Constitution was written by men who believed in a God-fearing nation, provides the ultimate guide on how to govern a civil society. Every word was carefully chosen to give each branch of government the power to check and temper the other. These men knew that with unchecked power, any branch of government could lose sight of the job they were hired to do and become beholden solely to the power they wield. This is what has happened in America today. Power corrupts. The Biden administration is proof of it. From the top down, virtually every person involved in this disturbing America Last executive branch has weaponized their office to target their political opponents. It's unprecedented, and it's not the American way. This week, I've solemnly and soberly chosen to use the powers that the founders provided and issue a check against what the Biden administration thinks are unfettered powers. It's something I don't take lightly. On Tuesday, I submitted articles of impeachment against the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Matthew Graves. Mr. Graves is derelict in his duty as the chief prosecutor for Washington, D.C. He is in a unique position of the top law enforcement officer for both federal and local crimes, but he's refusing to do his job. Under his watch, 67% of arrests have gone unprosecuted. Many of these are violent crimes where the victims are left wondering, where has justice gone? It's no wonder that he is ignoring these acts that destroy the lives of residents of our nation's capital, because he is solely focused on a three-hour event that happened on January 6, 2021. He is devoting his entire office to maliciously prosecuting as many people as he possibly can, including nonviolent, peaceful protesters. Graves is refusing to do his job. He must be impeached. On Tuesday, I also submitted articles of impeachment against FBI Director Christopher Wray. Director Wray has turned the Federal Bureau of Investigation into the personal police force of Joe Biden and Attorney General Merrick Garland. It is wholly unacceptable for the FBI director or any civil officer to use their power in a way that targets one political class and favors another. Wray has used Soviet-style tactics in his targeting of average Americans and placed threat tags on everyone from pro-life groups to traditional Catholics. He even sent armed agents to the home of President Donald Trump, who is also the current frontrunner in the Republican presidential election, in a politically motivated raid to influence an upcoming election, all while shielding the current Democrat president's vile son from a criminal probe. Wray is using his extremely powerful law enforcement role for political purposes. He must be impeached. Yesterday morning, I introduced articles of impeachment against Attorney General Merrick Garland. Since Merrick Garland took over as Attorney General, he has completely weaponized the Department of Justice to the point under his control it has become the Department of Injustice. The politicization of the DOJ has resulted in the persecution of the left's political enemies and a two-tier justice system. Garland is using the FBI as the personal police force for his boss, Joe Biden. He has launched investigations into everyone from parents who protest their local school boards to former and future President Donald J. Trump. Nothing short of election interference. His corruption knows no bounds. While Antifa and BLM terrorists have caused billions of dollars in property damage and taken lives, Garland instead persecutes Americans who engaged in legitimate political protests, people who were overwhelmingly nonviolent, many of them just walking through the Capitol. Garland's total politicization and perversion of the American justice system has only one remedy, impeachment. Yesterday, I also introduced articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Since assuming office, Secretary Mayorkas has aided and abetted the complete invasion of our country by deliberately flooding our nation with drugs, terrorists, and illegal aliens. Mayorkas has allowed approximately 6 million illegal border encounters and 1.4 million known gotaways. But how many more don't we even know about? He has intentionally diverted resources away from our borders, stopped construction of the border wall, and broke existing laws by allowing mass parole for illegal aliens. Mayorkas ended President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, and we are back to the days of catching and releasing illegal aliens directly into the United States. Mayorkas stated under oath that we have operational control of our borders. He lied to the American people, he lied under oath, and he has blatantly violated his oath of office. Secretary Mayorkas must be impeached. It is with the highest amount of solemnity that I announce my intention to introduce articles of impeachment today on the head of this America at Last executive branch that has been working since January 20th, 2021 to systematically destroy this country. The President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. Joe Biden has deliberately compromised our national security by refusing to enforce immigration laws and secure our border, allowed approximately 6 million illegals from over 170 countries to invade our country, deprived Border Patrol of the necessary resources and policies sufficient to protect our country. And his administration has willfully refused to maintain operational control as required by the law. He has allowed fentanyl, the number one killer of Americans between the age of 18 and 45, to overwhelmingly flood into our country and kill around 300 Americans every single day. These aren't just Americans. These are people's family members. These are their sons, their daughters, their brothers, their sisters, their mothers, their fathers, their cousins, aunts, and uncles. These are American families. His administration has lost complete contact with approximately 85,000 unaccompanied illegal alien children, and his policies have forced tens of thousands of illegal children into slave labor. Where are these kids? No one even knows. It's horrible. Joe Biden has reinstated catastrophic and disastrous catch-and-release policies, which have allowed illegals to flood our country and our communities. He ended Remain in Mexico and reinstated catch-and-release. Under Biden's command, the Secretary of Homeland Security has illegally granted mass parole to aliens when U.S. federal law only permits parole to be granted on a specific case-by-case basis. He endangered the lives of Americans by allowing illegal aliens who had tested positive for COVID-19 to enter our country and infect American citizens, yet while enforcing strict COVID policies on American citizens. His policies, directives, and statements surrounding the southern border have violated our laws and destroyed our country. Biden has blatantly violated his constitutional duty, and he is a direct threat to our national security. Therefore, Joseph Robinette Biden is unfit to serve as the President of the United States and must be impeached. Out in the real world, where American taxpayers live, employees are fired when they are corrupt or aren't adequately serving their employer, or purposely destroying a company. In this case, the employer is the American people, because they pay the salaries of everyone in the federal government. The Constitution outlines a very simple process to fire the corrupt officials serving in the federal government: impeachment. Matthew Graves, Christopher Wray, Merrick Garland, Alejandro Mayorkas, and Joe Biden are all corrupt and unfit to hold office, and they all must be impeached. This concludes impeachment week. And now I can take.
All right, we're going to chew on this a little more. Joining me now is Charlie Hurt, Washington Times opinion editor, Fox News contributor, and Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst and author of the upcoming book, Trial of the Century: The Scopes Monkey Trial, available May 3rd. Gentlemen, thank you for helping out.
Great to be with you.
I don't want to go overboard on this, but I am extremely concerned, as you can gather from what I've said similar things last night. First of all, Charlie Hurt, this whistleblower hearing that Jim Jordan sponsored today, with the kind of testimony we got from these whistleblowers, I mean, I think of it as a really bad leading indicator that the FBI is still going in the wrong direction and is, at least the Washington office. What do you think about this? What's the meaning of this hearing?
It's certainly a cry for help, and especially up against right after the Durham report comes out and all of this is sort of laid bare. And I'm with you, Larry. I hate talking about this stuff. I hate the idea that we have to recognize this because it goes against everything that we would like to believe. But at some point, you can't any, you know, you can't any longer ignore what is so obvious, which is there is rampant corruption inside the FBI, inside the Department of Justice. And, you know, and I think it's even more complex than you're rightly pointing out. You know, the problem, I think, is that anything that is rooted in Washington, in the fetid swamp that is Washington, getting corrupted like this, and the FBI is no exception. You know, when you think about the people that sign up to pursue justice for the FBI, I don't think it's left-wing loons that are drawn to it. But when you have the top brass and they're stationed here in Washington, they become part of the Leviathan, and they corrupt every aspect of what they're doing. And we've seen it so clear. And we have a moral obligation. We have a legal obligation. We have all these this obligation to wrench it away from these people and clean house, as you point out, and or get rid of the whole thing and start over again. But it's really, really bad. This is destroying our political process, and this is more intolerable than the mountains of death that we're piling up on our children. This is on that level.
Right. Greg Jarrett, first of all, thanks for coming. I know late call, you're great. Greg, I'm going to wave a magic wand and appoint you Attorney General. Okay? Attorney General Greg Jarrett. By the way, I think you'd make a good one. You would be in charge of changing the FBI. What would you do? How would you go about it? What do you think?
Well, I would dismantle the hierarchy and rebuild it. Isn't it ironic that the old Hoover building itself is crumbling just as the institution itself is crumbling from pervasive corruption? And we heard it today. These witnesses recounting firsthand, Larry, how FBI investigations are biased. They're tainted by politics. They cited examples. And when these brave agents complained and they resisted when they tried to do their jobs properly and objectively, there's a concept, based on evidence and not politics, they were maligned, they were frozen out, they were punished, security clearances yanked, their names sullied. I mean, this is, and I'm a lawyer, this is classic retaliation and retribution. It's prohibited by federal statute. And, you know, these witnesses today, Larry, that's the tip of the iceberg. It's a sample of what Chairman Jim Jordan described as over two dozen whistleblowers who have come forward with evidence of FBI corruption. And I must say they came across, as I watched, as, you know, conscientious public servants. Mm. They have a great record. They have the courage to step forward to expose the rot at the FBI. Rot, if left to fester, bring down a building. And here, it's what was built up for decades.
But Greg,
what was once the esteemed law enforcement agency in America, the FBI.
Right. And that's an important point because I want it to be the esteemed law enforcement agency. That's what we want. But these people, just to finish, Charlie, I want to come back to you in a second, but Greg, just to add your thought. Look, these whistleblowers are protected by law, but they are not being protected by law inside the FBI. So this sets up all kinds of problems. There is no justice going on here. The FBI, which is the law agency, is breaking the law in the way they treat these whistleblowers, okay? That's the way I see it. Now, you're the attorney. You tell me.
Well, I agree with you 100%. Look, there was great debate today between Jordan and Democrats. Oh, they're not whistleblowers because they haven't crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's and gone fully through the process and been, you know, anointed officially as whistleblowers. Well, in common language, they certainly are whistleblowers.
The Constitution was written by men.
And it's not the American way. This week, I've solemnly and soberly chosen to use the powers that the founders provided and issue a check against what the Biden administration thinks our unfettered powers. It's something I don't take lightly.
Of dollars into fake LLCs and paying themselves or their family or who knows out of these LLCs. That's what the Bidens have been doing. And very soon, once we get through this investigation, I think we will have very credible articles of impeachment on that issue as well.
So just to clarify, this is the first round related to states and immigration. How many articles will there be exactly?
The first round is related to the national security crisis pertaining to how the president has totally wiped out strong border security measures that were in place before he took office, and he took them away when he became president. And he has allowed the invasion all over the United States. This is just the first set of articles of impeachment. Yes, ma'am.
Can you talk about your father's movement tonight? Why was there such frustration, and why did you feel the need to defend Congressman Santos when they're telling him to resign?
Well, first off, I never defended George Santos. I was not defending George Santos. What I was saying to the press there is you should be at the White House asking these same questions. I never defended George Santos. No one should report that. That would be a lie. What concerns me about Jamal Bowman is he has a history of aggression, not just towards others, but towards me in particular, and I'm very concerned about it. When I went to New York City to use my First Amendment right and protest the unconstitutional and unlawful arrest of President Trump, who another person abusing their power, weaponization of government, DA Alvin Bragg, Jamal Bowman led a mob down there in front of that courthouse, and my life was in danger. I had to have so much security. There was not enough. I was swarmed. It's all on video. Everyone can see this. But I will tell you what's on video is Jamal Bowman shouting at the top of his lungs, cursing, calling me a horrible, calling me a white supremacist, which I take great offense to. That is like calling a person of color the N-word, which should never happen. Calling me a white supremacist is equal to that, and that is wrong. Jamal Bowman was down there cursing at me, telling me to get the F out of there, and he was leading the mob right outside the vehicle I was sitting in. We have this all on video. And then on the Capitol steps yesterday, he was the one that approached me. Even CNN reported that, yelling, shouting, raising his voice. He has aggressive, his physical mannerisms are aggressive, and he just recently shoved Thomas Massie just outside the House chamber. I think there's a lot of concern about Jamal Bowman. So, and I am concerned about it. I feel threatened by him. He not only led a mob there, but his boisterous lies. And I'll tell you another thing he said outside there. He was saying, save your party. I kept telling him, no, save the country. It's not about political parties. We shouldn't care about political parties. We should care about the country, because no matter what our political beliefs are, Jamal Bowman, I don't know what his political beliefs are. I know what mine are, but we both swore an oath to serve the country here in Congress as representatives. So I am very concerned about Jamal Bowman, and he's someone that people should watch. Yes, ma'am.
A procedural question. My understanding is you can be offering your resolution on the House floor as a question of the privilege of the House, which would let you get a vote, I think, in a couple of days.
Well, I'll be talking with as I'm gathering co-sponsors. I'd like to work on that first, and I'd also like to give the American people a chance to show their support for these articles of impeachment before I use a procedural rule like that. Yeah, thank you. Yes, sir.
Ma'am, I was wondering, impeachment is kind of a high bar. Is there any thought to using the appropriations process or maybe the Holman rule instead to target pensions or salaries of some of these individuals? Wouldn't that be easier to accomplish?
Well, and that will be accomplished. We're already looking to use the Holman rule in many areas, and we're looking at using appropriations for a way to rein in this completely out of control weaponized government that is being just that is abusing the American people. So yes, that's already a process that's happening. But I believe that yes, this is an extraordinary measure, but we're living in extraordinary times. And this is a time where things are so out of control. I mean, imagine if this continues and goes further. Imagine if this unchecked power is allowed to continue. What will it be in just a matter of a few years? What will it be, and what will they be doing? We've never seen this before in our American history. But more importantly, this is what the people are demanding. And I'm a representative of the people. I represent my district. They're demanding this. But people all over the country are demanding this. They want people impeached because the same standard that applies to the people in their daily lives should apply to people that are paid by their hard-earned tax dollars. And so I'll just let you know that, yeah, we're going to go both ways. We'll go the Holman rule. We'll go the appropriations route. But I would also like to go the impeachment route.
Leadership say when you presented this and Debbie talked to the chairs of the Oversight and Authorization Committee, mm-hmm. Does this step on what they're trying to do?
No, it doesn't step on anyone. And again, I went out of complete respect for leadership, but also respect for my colleagues, and explained the reasons why I was doing this. Again, because I represent the people, and this is what the people want to see happen. And they didn't tell me not to do it. They just asked me questions about the method, the legality, and you know, things pertaining to the Constitution, which I thought they had very good questions. And it's good to have that type of feedback and conversation, especially when introducing articles of impeachment.
Have you read any of this by President Trump?
Well, I didn't ask him permission. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No, I didn't run it by him. No. Anybody else? Good. All right. Well, this concludes. And again, thank you for coming out this morning, and I appreciate your time. Thank you. Run this, they'll understand it. But here's what's more important. You're asking who will the conference move to impeach? The reason why I'm introducing these articles is because I would say about 75% of the base of Republican voters, and then I would argue even more Americans, maybe that are not necessarily Republicans, they could be independents, and some of them could be Democrats, agree with impeachment, because there's never any consequences for anyone in the federal government when regular American citizens face consequences all the time. And I'm introducing these articles because this is what people are demanding. They're demanding it and asking for it. And after talking to legal experts and analyzing the situation, it is the right thing to do. And it is a rare thing to do, but it is the right thing to do because we're living in extraordinary times. The way our country is right now, it shouldn't be this way. And we have a duty. We have a duty as an elected office holder, as a representative, I have a duty. But so does other elective office holders. And I'll argue even more, employees in the federal government have a duty to the American people. We shouldn't be in the debt we're in. Our borders should not be wide open. We shouldn't have lost tens of thousands of children. They shouldn't be working in slavery. In places that we don't even know, but even the New York Times wrote up a big piece about that. These things should not be happening. So we have a duty to impeach people. And thankfully, our founding fathers gave us that right. Yes.
On your intention to introduce articles of impeachment against Joe Biden, how many articles would be in this, and what would be the specific charges in each of the articles? And then secondly, on top of that, have you discussed this with Republican leadership in the chamber?
Yes, I have, of course. I have great respect for Republican leadership, and I want to work with my colleagues in the conference. But more importantly, I would like to work with every single member of Congress. There's 435 of us. You can look at us like a board of executives. That's how I view this government, is it should be operating more like a company. We have 435 representatives. we should operate like a board of executives, making good decisions for the country, which we should view the country as our customers, the American people. That's who we work for. So, yes, I have talked with them. I'll be introducing, this is just the first set of articles of impeachments I'm introducing on Joe Biden, and this one has to do with his absolute failure, purposeful failure to protect the states. As the president of the United States, he swears an oath of office, and part of that oath of office means that he has to defend the states. He is not defending the safety and the security of all 50 states in our country. The fact that so many illegals are entering all these states and being at the taxpayers' expense, flown on airplanes, driven on buses all over the country to go to any community all over America where every single town has become a border town and every single state has become a border state. That is why he must be impeached. But the death, allowing the death of over 300 Americans every single day, is like allowing people to be murdered every single day. It's just allowing it to happen and allowing murder, allowing crimes to be committed against American citizens is an absolute failure of the president of the United States. But I'll go further. I'm very invested into the investigations that we're doing on the Oversight Committee. These investigations are serious. And what we are reading in SARS reports and what we are seeing and studying in bank records, and we have more coming. We are only partly into this investigation. It's only been a couple of months. What we are finding out about not only Hunter Biden, which was known from the Biden laptop, from his laptop, but denied and lied about by 51 people, members of the intelligence community, who I'll tell you right now, those 51 should have their security clearances stripped from them. And I'll argue further that some of them should go to jail for what they did and how they abused their authority on the television, to lying to all of you and lying to the American people. But the fact that that happened to cover up, and I'll go with this, people abuse their power and their authority because they put party over country. It's party over country for them. It's not the country first. And they have done a major cover up. But what we've uncovered in the Oversight Committee is shocking. It's shocking. And I'll tell you what, I don't think it just goes to the Bidens alone. I guarantee you there are many others in Washington that are doing the very same thing, getting millions of dollars into fake LLCs and paying themselves or their family or who knows out of these LLCs. That's what the Bidens have been doing. And very soon, once we get through this investigation, I think we will have very credible articles of impeachment on that issue as well.
So just to clarify, the first round how many articles will there be exactly?
The first round is related to the national security crisis pertaining to how the president has totally wiped out strong border security measures that were in place before he took office, and he took them away when he became president. And he has allowed the invasion all over the United States. This is just the first set of articles of impeachment. Yes, ma'am. Well, first off, I never defended George Santos. I was not defending George Santos. What I was saying to the press there is you should be at the White House asking these same questions. I never defended George Santos. No one should report that. That would be a lie. What concerns me about...
Yeah, man. I don't know. This is, I mean, there's a lot of fucking people that are involved in this bullshit. It's fucking psycho. You know, it's all been fucking insane in the fucking membrane. I don't understand it, man. It's getting crazier by the fucking minute, you know? I'm sorry. I'm trying to do 10 things at one time as usual, but, it's just, you know, why is it taking this long? All the bullshit stories that have been found out about, and people are told the goddamn truth, they still believe this shit. This motherfucker's good. Why would you do that? Why? What? It amazes me how people want to do the opposite goddamn thing of right. Right and wrong. There's no fucking way around it. That's like this whole goddamn thing with transgender bullshit. Right and wrong. What's right or wrong? You know, you can't change gender. You can't be something that you are never going to be. You're born what you are. That's what you get. That's just the roll of the fucking dice. You get what you get, and that's that. You can't change nature. It ain't going to let you. I mean, it fucks with us. Some people come born with both things. You know what I'm saying? That's cool for them, whatever. But they might not want to be neither one. Who knows? But I mean, why do we got to have a big spectacle and, you know, force us into children? I mean, this should be never happening in the school system alone. That is pedophilia. These are pedophiles. But all the governments do, it's okay. We'll just do. That's the bullshit we deal with. Unfucking believable, man. It's like, wow. How in the fuck can you believe this bullshit? But people go along with it. It's crazy. You don't know who's the crazier of. Who's the craziest motherfucker of all? It's got to be, you know, who? Fuck. Let's blame somebody else but ourselves. That's right. Deny and lie. That's what we like to do. Deny and lie. Fuck you. Kiss my ass and all that shit. That's what we do. Or not us, in particular, or nor my listeners on the show. But it's just, you know, it seems to be the thing to do for some fucking weird reason. I don't know. It just blows my fucking mind, man. You know, it just blows my fucking mind. God damn. So anyway, I just sent a friend of mine $30, which ain't much, but to help him out. He's the one who had open heart surgery, and I sent him a little money. Just a little bit, you know, not buy a pack of cigarettes, six pack of beer, something, whatever. He can't drink no more smoke cigarettes. He had triple open heart bypass surgery. Open heart. The serious shit, you know? So, wow. The nature of the human. See, there you go. Here again, you know. But that's, I know, what Biden has done and Kamala Harris has done nothing. But think he gets impeached, he becomes the president. You know, Wow. You know, I mean, okay, so they get rid of one and they insert another one. Another nutcase. She don't even know what she's doing anyway. What has that woman ever done since she's been in that position that even sound halfway remotely positive or anything negative? She's done nothing. So either way it goes, she's done nothing. So there's that. All right, well, I'm going to crank on this one phone caller I got. You know, slow night here in this radio business. It's a slow night. You know, it's there again. Here we go. People don't care. They just rather, you know, whatever, you know. So Joe gets impeached. Who gives a fuck? Yada, yada, yada. You know, that's it. So, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know what to say. Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, it can't get any better. It just can't do it. It's insane. It's just so, you know, far out there. You know, why would you do these things to your own people? You know, your own people. That just don't make no sense now, does it? They simply just, you know, don't seem to care. So wait, Gunslinger, what's happening, man? I just brought you in here. Plus, he can't hear me.
Yo.
There you go. Hey, man. What's happening?
I don't know. Crazy shit, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Stinky Sam Britton arrest again. I didn't hear that. This came out 50 minutes ago. It's a short clip. I'm going to play it, so hang tight. Check this out. You know who this motherfucker is, don't you? Remember this guy?
I didn't hear that one, no.
Sam Brinton, is that his name, Brinton? The transgender guy was in control of nuclear waste and shit.
Oh, the freaky general. The freaky general.
Yeah, they're stealing luggage. They're stealing luggage at airports and shit. Yeah.
Stealing luggage, okay.
He's up to something again. Let's check this out. Wow. Woo! Right to the fucking brainstem.
Hey. Fox News alert. Airline passengers can breathe easy because the man behind the most infamous airline heist since D.B. Cooper has been brought to justice. That's right. Sticky Sammy is in handcuffs again. And no, it's not the fuzzy kind. Biden's non-binary former nuke guru and convicted bag snatcher was arrested last night at his Maryland home and charged with grand larceny. Police picked him up for being, a quote, fugitive from justice. So wait, does that make him a gender outlaw? We'll have to see what box he checks. Sticky appeared before a judge today who refused to release him, instead extraditing him to Virginia. The investigation is being led by Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority, which means this is about what went down at Reagan National in D.C., remember? That's right. Sticky stole an African fashion designer's bag, and then he wore clothes over and over and over again. So we reached out to the fashion designer, and she said the police have been in contact with her lawyer, and she's been asked to come and identify the items taken by the cops, so it certainly looks like Sticky Sammy robbed this lady. And Sticky was already on a suspended 180-day jail sentence from his Las Vegas baggage thefts. Is this a violation of Sticky's parole? Might be. If so, he could go away for quite a long time, which is a shame because orange really isn't his color.
So the no good, very bad week for the FBI just got worse. Less than 72 hours after the Durham report revealed and discovered and proved that the Bureau was biased against former President Trump. A group of FBI whistleblowers giving explosive testimony on Capitol Hill. The witnesses accusing the agency of unfair treatment and alleging retaliation. Republicans say this is just further proof of what it calls institutional rot and anti-conservative bias. And adding to their argument, just before the hearing, the FBI yanked security clearances of two of the agents.
Working as an FBI special agent was my dream job. My whistleblowing was apolitical and in the spirit of upholding my oath. Nonetheless, the FBI cynically elected to close ranks and attack the messenger.
My family and I have been surviving on early withdrawals from our retirement accounts while the FBI has ignored my request for approval to obtain outside employment.
I never swore an oath to the FBI. I swore an oath to the Constitution.
Do you believe that the FBI is purposefully hostile to you for that reason to keep agents from speaking up?
Yes.
Yes, without question.
Yes.
Chairman Jim Jordan warning the whistleblowers that they would face heavy attacks from Democrats.
We've talked to over two dozen whistleblowers. People have come to us. We've interviewed several of those, and today three of them. Three of those brave whistleblowers and a lawyer who represents them will tell us their story. They will tell us what happened, what they saw, and then what happened to them because they were courageous enough to report it to Congress. I just want to tell you guys, get ready. Get ready because these guys are going to come after you. You know they are.
Well, Jordan was definitely onto something. Democrats did bash Republicans for even holding the hearing and trying to undermine the credibility of whistleblowers.
On Police Week, watching House Republicans jump to lay the foundation to defund law enforcement. My colleagues on the far right are on a mission to attack, discredit, and ultimately dismantle the FBI. This is Defund the Police on steroids.
You're engaging in the self-promotion of your new book that's about to be released. And what great timing to be on TV and in Congress right before your book tour starts.
In Texas, we would just say that this is just a lot of hot air blowing here, and it ain't a whistleblower.
This is one of the most heated, passionate hearings I have seen on Capitol Hill in a long time. As we watched the whole thing this morning, both sides came loaded for bear. Jesse, get your initial thoughts.
The primary allegation was that there was a cash incentive program with the FBI. So the more investigations a field office opens up, the more cash bonuses are given to the head of the field office. So that's why you're seeing this flurry of investigations, a flurry of arrests. That's why so many January 6th prosecutions, so many parents are being investigated. Catholics are now being investigated. And it explains why. Anybody who even went to D.C. on January 6th was investigated. They were investigated for money, but they were investigated. And Bank of America handed over to the FBI every single transaction that was made by people that flew into D.C. for January 6th. Not only that, the FBI was taking officers off child porn cases and making them hang out in the parking lots of parent-teacher conferences and write down their license plates. They made the Betsy Ross flag or a bumper sticker that said 2A a terror symbol. So now you understand why the FBI says white supremacy is the number one threat in the country, because it's a predominantly white country, and you could make money, a fortune, investigating everything, a flag waver, a small business owner, a Trump supporter, a parent, anybody that can be considered white. You can open up an investigation and get paid for that. So it's a very perverse incentive. And then they got retaliated against because they tried to blow the whistle correctly up the chain of command. And then they like sent them to California and then locked all their belongings in a storage unit. And one family, FBI family, was left homeless for a week.
Yep.
And they said, the FBI will crush you if you speak out against them. And that's why a lot of people are saying the FBI needs to be dismantled.
You'll have more tonight.
We're
going to
have
prime
both
time.
Of these whistleblowers and Jim Gordon tonight at 7.
Don't say I never promote your show.
Thank you.
I will always do it.
How could I have forgotten?
I will always do it, Judge.
You know, it's interesting. Not only did they bump up these cash bonuses, and we remember with the Veterans Administration, they pumped up the numbers and said they were doing these great jobs when they really weren't helping veterans, but they made these fake stats so that they could make more money. Whenever you put money in with the federal government, you're making a mistake based on the numbers of cases or bonuses for arrests or collars. It's just, it's inconsistent. It's a bad intersection. But it's worse than that, because what they did was they pumped up the numbers, not just for the money, but if they were doing something that they called a white supremacist investigation, and they had four people they were interviewing, it wasn't that one case, it was then four cases. So they could bump up the stats and say, yes, white supremacy is the biggest problem in America today. And what they did to these whistleblowers is really, it's frightening. Because, by the way, there's a Whistleblower Protection Act. I have no faith in it, to be honest with you. But what they did to these people, to these FBI agents, and, you know, it's the main FBI agents, you know, the middle rung of them, they're doing a great job. They believe in this country. They're taking care to make sure that they follow all the rules and regulations. It's the upper core of the FBI that is corrupt, that's been politicized, that has been weaponized. And so they take these little people, so to speak, and they made them homeless. They made one guy actually move his family to another town, and then forced him to relocate. And then as soon as he got there, they put him on unpaid indefinite suspension, and he's homeless. I mean, this is the FBI at its worst, but we already knew that. And one more thing, the congresswoman, I think her name is Plaskett. She is from...
Stacey Plaskett.
Yes, Casey Plaskett.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about how this is defund police on steroids. Are you kidding me? We had the Horowitz investigation where Horowitz said the FBI was basically not doing its job, that Jim Comey was... You know, someone who lied, and the affidavit was unverified, and went on and on. And then you have the Durham report saying that the FBI failed to uphold its mission to fidelity to the law. And this woman labels these people as people who want to defund the police, the Republicans. And finally, it is simply too easy to say that a whistleblower who is saying something that is against his own interest. It's too easy for them to say, you know what, they're really inept. They were bad at their job. Because how do you fight the system? How do you fight the institution of the FBI? You can't. So the incentive is against someone who wants to be a whistleblower. And this is a perfect example of it.
One of the things that was revealed today, I guess what wasn't revealed to me because I didn't know, that the whistleblower protections for FBI employees and agents is different from the rest of the federal government, which is something that could perhaps be looked at by the Congress. Harold Ford Jr., the Democrats came ready today. They've got some pretty strong members on their side as well.
They do. It's good to be back. A couple of things. I think the report, the Durham report, is a troubling, troubling thing. Whenever the people, the American people, lose confidence in a federal agency, particularly a law enforcement agency, or have reason to, and Mr. Durham uncovered a lot of that, that's something we need to take very seriously. And I would hope that the committee might take a look. And if I were Chairman Jordan, I would invite Director Ray, who was actually praised in the report by Mr. Durham, saying he was taking big efforts to clean up some of the investigative excesses, to give them a sense of what they've really done. And I think they could probably explore the whistleblower protections for FBI agents. Two, There's been politics in every agency, the Department of Defense, Education, ATF, the FBI, every acronym there is.
There have been
IRS, there have been R's and D's forever, and there probably is a little bias somewhere along the way. I think whistleblowers should be protected in every agency, and one of the things that has to be done is you have to corroborate their stories. And while you corroborate their stories, they should not be punished. And it sounds as if, at least from some of the testimony, you can read into that maybe there are those who believe, who whistleblowers believe, that they have been retaliated against. If I were Chairman Jordan, I'd call in those and I would ask the whistleblowers, will you sign a document that say we can look at your employee file? Because these are serious, serious allegations. And I don't like engaging in Republicans are so bad, they're coming after Democrats. I thought it was a little irresponsible of the chairman to do those things, to make that statement. But if he has the evidence to back it up, then he should put forth the evidence. I close where I started. I give back Director Ray a lot more credit than perhaps some, not around this table, but some are in the press. He did a lot to clean this up, and if you don't believe it, Durham says it in his own report. I hope the FBI gets back to doing what they do best, which is protecting us against domestic and foreign crimes and threats, and get back to the great work they did in Idaho, where they were able to hunt down that guy that killed those four people in that home.
You know, it's interesting. That was one of the things I was going to ask you about, Tom, is that in the whistleblower testimony, one of the concerns that they said they had is that all of this focus on domestic terrorism has really taken our eye off the ball from foreign enemies and terrorism.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And that we're back to like a September 10th attitude.
We've seen it. We've seen them doing these raids and knocking on doors with pro-life demonstrators and things like that, investigating Catholics and other issues like that. It's obviously rotten. And I said to my friend the other day, I said something and it kind of bothered him. I said, they're going to get away with it because they broke the law legally. He said, what are you talking about? How do you do that? I said, they broke the law legally. Like, it dramatized on television shows like The Wire, where you have the mob, a lawyer who's doing work for a drug dealer. And we watched the way that he worked. He used the law to his advantage to essentially make this drug dealer legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a drug dealer. He was selling drugs to children. That's what this lawyer was doing. But you can't get him on it. That's the way guys like Comey and McCabe operated. They knew they were above the law because they know what the law is. I think they broke the law. I don't like the word bias. They broke the law legally. Now, the whistleblowers might be able to uncover some things. I don't think they're going to get the guys at the top, mm-hmm. but some heads may be able to roll when you get these guys who are on the inside giving information.
It is interesting that the cat apparently has James Comey's tongue. He used to love the media. I am fine anywhere. I'm looking.
Can I say one thing? For all the compliments that Christopher Wray is getting, who did he let go? He came in right after James Comey, the Strzok, McCabe, and the rest of them. What has Christopher Wray done other than say, you know, I'm going to do better?
Well, he was praised.
Lessons learned.
All I'm saying is he was praised in the report.
Well,
you can cherry pick the report if you want.
All right.
I want to Brian Kilmeade. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to click to subscribe to the.
There we go. We still up the worst goddamn way ever known to man. That's what we have. Crazy person. Nobody gives a shit. And so everything's corrupted. How can you have a legitimate government? I'm surprised they've not collapsed. I think that's the objective, to collapse the United States. We've been sold out. Fucking sold, man. They don't give a fuck about you, me, else. If you ain't one of them, you are fucking nobody. You're a fucking no one. Wow. Since for that topic, I'll take this for a second.
Gentlewoman, you'll have objection to all of the payments will be in the record. We will now introduce today's witnesses. Mr. Garrett O'Boyle. Mr. O'Boyle is a whistleblower, FBI special agent, most recently in the Wichita resident agency of the Kansas City field office. Prior to becoming an FBI agent, Mr. O'Boyle served our nation as an infantryman in the United States Army for 6 years. In the Army, Mr. O'Boyle was deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan. He received numerous service awards, including the Combat Infantryman Badge. Mr. O'Boyle received an honorable discharge from the Army upon leaving. Mr. O'Boyle continued his commitment to public service, serving as a police officer in Waukesha, Wisconsin for 4 years. Mr. O'Boyle joined the FBI in 2018. As an FBI agent, Mr. O'Boyle was selected to serve on the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the SWAT team. Mr. O'Boyle graduated cum laude from Marquette University with a degree in criminology and law studies. But the FBI questioned his loyalty to the Constitution and to our country. Mr. Friend is a whistleblower and FBI special agent, most recently in the Daytona Beach resident agency of the Jacksonville field office. Prior to becoming an FBI agent in 2014, Mr. Friend served as a police officer in Savannah, Georgia, in Pooler, Georgia. And as an FBI agent, Mr. Friend spent 7 years working human trafficking investigations and investigating crimes against children. Prior to blowing the whistle in 2022, Mr. Friend had received several awards from the FBI for performance. Mr. Friend is a graduate of the University of Maine. And again, after this service to our country, the FBI questions his loyalty to the country. Mr. Allen is a whistleblower and staff operations specialist with the FBI Charlotte Field Office. Mr. Allen has 20 years of experience as an intelligence professional in the FBI and the United States Armed Services. Prior to joining the FBI, Mr. Allen served in the United States Marine Corps, including service in Iraq, Kuwait, and Japan. In the Marines, Mr. Allen received several awards, including the Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medal and the Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal. Mr. Allen received an honorable discharge from his Marine Corps duty. And again, the letter we got from the FBI, they're questioning his commitment to our country. I find that astounding. Prior to blowing the whistle, Mr. Allen received several awards from the FBI, including being selected as Employee of the Year for the Charlotte Field Office in 2019. Mr. Allen holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from American Military University. Mr. Tristan Levin. Mr. Levin is an attorney and the president of Empower Oversight, an organization dedicated to enhancing independent oversight of government and corporate wrongdoing. Prior to joining Empower Oversight, Mr. Levitt was a Senate-confirmed member of the United States Merit System Protection Board, which adjudicates whistleblower retaliation claims. Mr. Levitt also served as the principal deputy special counsel at the Office of the Special Counsel, which enforces federal whistleblower laws. Earlier in his career, Mr. Levitt was a counsel for Senator Grassley on the Senate Judiciary Committee and staffer on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He's a graduate of Brigham Young University and Georgetown University Law Center, and is considered an expert on the whistleblower law. As far as I know, the FBI hasn't questioned his loyalty to the country. We welcome our witnesses and thank them for appearing today. We'll begin by swearing you in. Would you please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you are about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and beliefs, so help you God? Let the record show that each witness answered in the affirmative. Thank you. Please be seated. Please know that your written testimony will be entered into the record in its entirety. Accordingly, we ask that you summarize your testimony in approximately 5 minutes, but we're going to give you plenty of time. But if you can keep it around 5, great, but if you go over, no worries there. And we will start with Mr. O'Boyle. Mr. O'Boyle, you are recognized for your opening statement.
Chairman Jordan, members of the committee, thank you for addressing FBI malfeasance and allowing me to speak today. Aside from that point of gratitude, I'm sad, I'm disappointed, and I'm angry that I have to be here to testify about the weaponization of the FBI and DOJ. Weaponization against not only its own employees, but against those institutions and individuals that are supposed to protect the American people. I'm here today because even though I am wrongfully suspended from the FBI, I remain duty-bound to the American people to play my small role in rectifying these issues. After all, I never swore an oath to the FBI. I swore an oath to the Constitution. I've served my nation and community my entire adult life, first in the United States Army, then as a police officer, and lastly as an FBI special agent. Shortly after high school, I joined the United States Army where I served in the infantry, and I was quickly promoted through the ranks. I deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. I served in the historic 101st Airborne Division. I received the Combat Infantryman's Badge, which is awarded to those infantrymen who engage in ground combat with our nation's enemies. The Army's official motto is, "This will defend." Along with numerous others, I volunteered to serve this nation, risking my life in combat to protect America and her values. I know some of the best men and women this country has to offer. They come from all backgrounds, races, and creeds. They helped mold me into the person I am today. Each was willing to sacrifice, and many did, to protect this great nation. It is our duty to honor their sacrifices by standing up for what is right, regardless of the difficulty.
After serving in the Army, I became a police officer. Police officers, like me, are imperfect beings, but we strive to uphold the law and the Constitution. People who go to work every day trying to make their communities better, yet who nonetheless are faced with budget cuts and calls for defunding as we continue spiraling away from law and order as a nation. While serving as a police officer, I finished my bachelor's degree, graduating with honors in criminology and law studies. Shortly thereafter, I began the long road to becoming an FBI special agent, a position I once understood to be the pinnacle of law enforcement and a way to continue to serve this nation and protect and defend the Constitution. During my 4 years as a special agent, I received the highest annual review an employee can receive. I volunteered for, tried out for, and was selected for an FBI SWAT team. I also volunteered for, tried out for, and was selected for a new unit the FBI created. I also received an award for my work on an anti-abortion extremism case. I've been smeared as a malcontent and subpar FBI employee. This smear stands in stark contrast to my life in public service. This smear campaign, disgusting as it is unsurprising. Despite our oath to uphold the Constitution, too many in the FBI aren't willing to sacrifice for the hard right over the easy wrong. They see what becomes of whistleblowers, how the FBI destroys their careers, suspends them under false pretenses, takes their security clearances and pay with no true options for real recourse or remedy. This is by design. It creates an Orwellian atmosphere that silences opposition and discussion. We know what is right to do, yet we too often refuse to do what is right because of the difficulty and suffering it incurs. I couldn't knowingly continue on this path silently without speaking out against the weaponization I witnessed, even if it meant losing my job, my career, my livelihood, my family's home, and now my anonymity. It's up to members of this committee, current and former FBI employees, and indeed all Americans, to ensure that the weaponization of our own government against the people comes to an end, no matter the personal cost. As James Madison prudently opined, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, in the next place, oblige it to control itself. The safeguards currently in place at the FBI are clearly inadequate and must be reworked to protect whistleblowers and others who are inappropriately targeted. The FBI can extract whatever they want from me. I'm willing to bear that burden. I've sworn to defend this country from enemies, both foreign and domestic, even if that means sacrificing my life. I've lived that oath out since first enlisting in the Army, consistently saying, here am I, send me. My oath, however, did not include sacrificing the hopes, dreams, and livelihood of my family. My strong, beautiful, and courageous wife, and our four sweet and beautiful daughters who have endured this process along with me. In weaponized fashion, the FBI allowed me to accept orders to a new position halfway across the country. They allowed us to sell my family's home. They ordered me to report to the new unit when our youngest daughter was 2 weeks old. Then, on my first day on the new assignment, they suspended me, rendering my family homeless. They refused to release our goods, including our clothes, for weeks. All I wanted to do was serve my country by stopping bad guys and protecting the innocent. To my chagrin, bad guys have begun running parts of the government, making it difficult to continue to serve this nation and protect the innocent. But I, for one, will never stop trying, and I'll never forget my oath. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. God bless you. Mr. Friend, you're recognized for your opening statement.
Thank you, Chairman Jorman and members of the committee. My name is Stephen Friend. I'm a senior fellow for the Center for Renewing America. Prior to assuming my current position, I was a special agent for the Federal Bureau of Investigation for 8.5 years. During that time, I investigated approximately 200 violent crimes, such as aggravated assaults, murder, child abuse, rape, robbery, child molestation, child pornography, and human trafficking. I also served 5 years on an FBI SWAT team and spent 5 years as a local law enforcement officer in the state of Georgia. In August 2022, I made protected whistleblower disclosures to my immediate supervisor, assistant special agents in charge, and special agent in charge about my concerns regarding January 6th investigations assigned to my office. I believed our departures from case management rules established in the FBI's Domestic Investigations and Operations Guide could have undermined potentially righteous prosecutions and may have been part of an effort to inflate the FBI's statistics on domestic extremism. I also voiced concerns that the FBI's use of SWAT and large-scale arrest operations to apprehend suspects who were accused of nonviolent crimes and misdemeanors represented by counsel and who pledged to cooperate with the federal authorities in the event of criminal charges created an unnecessary risk to FBI personnel and public safety. At each level of my chain of command, leadership cautioned that despite my exemplary work performance,
whistleblowing placed my otherwise bright future with the FBI at risk. Special agents take an oath to protect the U.S. Constitution. The dangers of federal law enforcement overreach were hammered home to me when I was required to attend trainings at the Holocaust Memorial Museum and MLK Memorial. I cited my oath and training in my conversations with my FBI supervisors. Nevertheless, the FBI weaponized the security clearance processes to facilitate my removal from active duty within 1 month of my disclosures. In addition to an indefinite unpaid suspension, the FBI initiated a campaign of humiliation and intimidation to punish and pressure me to resign. In violation of HIPAA, individuals at the FBI leaked my private medical information to a reporter at the New York Times. In violation of the Privacy Act, the FBI refused to furnish my training records for several months. To date, they only provide a portion of the records, which are essential to obtaining private investigator and firearms licenses in the state of Florida. Even after releasing some of the records, the FBI refuses to confirm their legitimacy to the Florida Department of Agriculture, rendering the few documents they have provided practically useless. The FBI denied my request to seek outside employment in an obvious attempt to deprive me of the ability to support my family. Finally, the FBI Inspection Division imposed an illegal gag order in an attempt to prevent me from communicating with my family and attorneys. Working as an FBI special agent was my dream job. My whistleblowing was apolitical and in the spirit of upholding my oath. Nonetheless, the FBI cynically elected to close ranks and attack the messenger. The FBI is incentivized to work against the American people and in dire need of drastic reform, particularly in these areas. The integrated program management system incentivizes the use of inappropriate investigatory processes and tools to achieve arbitrary statistical accomplishments. Mission creep within the National Security Branch has refocused counterterrorism from legitimate foreign actors to political opponents within our borders. The FBI weaponizes process crimes and reinterprets laws to initiate pretextual prosecutions and persecute its political enemies. Bureau intelligence analysis capability increasingly dictates operations, turning the FBI into an intelligence agency with a law enforcement capability. FBI collusion with big tech to gather intelligence on Americans, censor political speech, and target citizens for malicious prosecution. A dysfunctional promotion process fosters a revolving door of inexperienced, ambitious FBI supervisors ascending the management ladder within the agency. FBI informant protocols that are broken and abusive. The FBI skirts the Whistleblower Protection Act and exploits the security clearance revocation process to expel employees who make legally protected disclosures. I am pleased to see the Weaponization Committee is taking testimony from FBI whistleblowers. I would also like to take this opportunity to address correspondence recently received by the subcommittee. Yesterday, May 17, 2023, FBI Acting Assistant Director Christopher Dunham submitted a letter to this subcommittee. Portions of his letter concern the suspension and revocation of my security clearance. Parenthetically, I also received a letter from the FBI Executive Assistant Director Jennifer Moore yesterday, notifying me that my security clearance was revoked. I find the timing of these letters dubious, but leave that up to the subcommittee's determination. I would like to address and add vital context to the portion of Mr. Dunham's letter pertaining to my violation of Adjudicative Guideline J. Mr. Dunham is referring to an audio recording I created of my August 23, 22 meeting with Jacksonville Assistant Special Agents in Charge Colt Markovsky and Sean Ryan. After making protective whistleblower disclosure to my immediate supervisor in August 2022, Jack Markovsky summoned me to a meeting at Jacksonville office. Jack Markovsky told me the meeting needed to be an opportunity to discuss my concerns. I anticipated the meeting might ultimately lead to my executive managers attempting to compel me to participate in an activity which placed public safety at risk. I was concerned ASAC Markovsky and ASAC Ryan may threaten adverse actions toward my career as a result of the whistleblower disclosure. Prior to the meeting, I consulted Florida law and confirmed that the law enforcement exemption is a two-part consent restriction. I decided to record the meeting to memorialize our discussion and my concerns about the FBI's misconduct. When I entered the FBI Jack Ross building, ASAC Markovsky and ASAC Ryan were having a presentation for them in a conference room. When I entered, all of us placed our cellular phones on the conference table. As an experienced investigator who has conducted hundreds of recorded interviews, I noted how both ASAC Markovsky and ASAC Ryan repeated themselves throughout our discussion, continually insisted I agree to their premise that I was insubordinate for refusing to perform my job. I rebuffed the allegation of I was fulfilling the oath of office. My disclosure departure and the inappropriate risk to public safety, aggressive arrest tactics, etc. It was my belief that my were also recording their conversation. January 2023, I participated in an interview with the FBI division. During that, I recorded my August 2022 meeting with Chuck Murkowski. I answered honestly that I had. Although it would seem to be an obvious and natural follow-up, the FBI Security Division did not request a copy of the recording. FBI Security Division should be concerned. They threatened the doors with adverse action. I submitted by the FBI Security Division solidifies my contention that ASACs, Murkowski, and Ryan created their own recording of our meeting. The FBI was not concerned about potential whistleblower retaliation. Only interested in learning if these were at risk of exposure. I pray that all members consider the information I and my fellow will present. You may think I'm a political person. I am a grifter. You may think I'm a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't matter. The messengers seated before I sacrificed my team with this information with the American people. I hope all the members to do your jobs and consider the merit of what I have presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Friend. Your testimony. Mr. Allen, you are now recognized for speaking.
Thank you, Chairman. Hello, my name is Marcus Allen. I'm a staff operations specialist for the FBI in the Charlotte field office. Retaliation by the FBI, I've been suspended for over a year. Thank you to the committee for allowing me time today to convey my concerns about the current FBI. In particular, I learned, and I believe this committee should also be concerned about the FBI's use of the security clearance process to retaliate against whistleblowers. First, though, just so you know a little bit about me, I served honorably in the United States Marine Corps from 2000 to 2005. I was deployed to Kuwait and served two tours in Iraq and contributed to Operation Iraqi Freedom. During my deployments, I was exposed to live enemy fire on numerous occasions, even though I served primarily in analytical and intelligence roles. I was awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medal and the Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal. I have been FBI Employee of the Year in 2018 in the Charlotte Field Office. As the holder of a top secret security clearance since 2001, I've been trusted with the nation's greatest secrets. So why am I here today? Despite my history of unblemished service to the United States, the FBI suspended my security clearance, accusing me of acting disloyal to my country. This outrageous, insulting accusation is based on unsubstantiated accusations that I hold conspiratory regarding the events of January 2021 that I sympathize with criminal conduct. I do not. I was not in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, played no part in the events of January 6th, and because I forwarded information to my superiors and others that questioned the official narrative of the events of January 6th. As a result, I was accused of promoting conspiratorial views and unreliable information. The FBI questioned my allegiance to the United States. I was suspended that there's been a communication from the FBI with the actions seemingly enforced by actions from my counsel or Congress. For example, I was not even interviewed by anyone from the FBI until May of 2022. I was suspended in January 2022. This interaction with the FBI happened on the heels of a public statement from a congressional member in early May 2002. The member made statements indicating the FBI was conducting a purge of employees with conservative points. Because of the public statements, my counsel received a phone call from the FBI wanting to see if they could conduct an interview. I promptly complied and did an interview with investigators within a week. Throughout this ordeal, I and my counsel have responded quickly, whereas the FBI has only stonewalled. I have filed a federal lawsuit to recover my livelihood and restore my good name. Recently, my counsel filed a complaint with the Justice Department's Office of Inspector General, complaint for retaliation through misuse of the clearance process, reprisal against me for making a protected disclosure. Interestingly enough, in the wake of filing the complaint, I received correspondence from the FBI indicating that clearance now, quote, this occurred after filing my complaint with the IG. The new and baseless claims made the opportunity to defend myself. I only had one with the FBI, which occurred a year after apparent prompting from Congress. In that interview, the investigators, towards the end of the interview, uttered in response to my exasperation, don't sue us. This has been a trying circumstance for me and family. It has been more than a year since I got my paycheck, and we're getting financially crushed. My family and I have been surviving on early withdrawals from our retirement accounts while the FBI has ignored my request for approval to obtain outside employment during the review of my security clearance. We have lost federal health insurance coverage, and there's no end in sight. I'm hopeful scrutiny from the federal to deter the FBI from a security clearance fraud to retaliate against the way it's retaliated against the mediation complaint with the IG. I am here today to answer questions. Thank you. I also have a rebuttal if the member will allow me to speak. Thank you. This is a rebuttal of the FBI response just recently sent to committee in reference to my clearance and revocation. That word to be thrown around lightly. In regards to the FBI's treatment of me, this is conduct of an organization given public trust. Think about that. My treatment without a doubt has sent back to what semblance remains of an ethical cadre. This was not a thorough investigation in my regard. I've not been afforded an opportunity to confront claims made against me. Interestingly, the revocation language citing guideline E is the first instance I've seen referring to this specific guideline in my case. The claim I obstructed a local investigation is dubious, and I do not recall being admonished for such an infraction. In regards to the paragraph in the letters highlighting an alleged incident with a special agent, I have no idea what it refers to. This alleged incident did not come up at all during the alleged thorough investigation. Again, as with Guyane, this is the first appearance of allegation during this entire ordeal. Next, I do not recall receiving directives to stop sending information in regards to. I do not want any more information. Furthermore, the September 29, 2021 email referred to in the letter is part of protected disclosure, present documentary evidence of a protected disclosure as a source of retaliation and reprisal. Alternative analysis and differing viewpoints should be welcomed, even though they may not be ultimately acted upon by the actual decision maker. Groupthink should not be an ethos champion in an investigative organization. To shut down differing viewpoints is the end of any analytical or investigative body. It sends a chilling effect across the workforce and does not allow for intellectual freedom, which is vital to any investigative body. If possible, the ire, with my perspective, has been due to folks wanting to maintain invincible ignorance instead of consciously and mentally transferring over willful ignorance. This is the end of my statement. Thank you for my time.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn. Chairman Jordan, Ranking Member Plaskett, members of the subcommittee, thank you for my invitation today. I currently serve as the president of Empower Oversight. I represent Stephen Friend and Allen. FBI whistleblowers have second class compared to those in most federal agencies. Congress adopted the modern system of whistleblowers that prohibited retaliation against FBI whistleblowers. But it gave them none of the process other federal law enforcement agencies received, like the DEA, the ATF, Marshals, and Secret Service. Whistleblower agencies can file retaliation complaints with U.S. Office of Special Counsel and independent agents. FBI whistleblowers can. Whistleblower agencies can all retaliation to the Merit Systems Protection Board, on which I recently served. Until just last year, FBI whistleblowers could not. They finally got that right in last December's NDAA. But Congress must ensure that this new jurisdiction applies as intended to all FBI retaliation cases. Many of them were years, DJ's long and extensive. But the laws prohibiting retaliation have booked that in. FBI cannot claim now that these are new because they now have to justify actions before the MSPB. Time has demonstrated, in my opinion, withdrew the FBI from the standard whistleblower protection process. It scourges integrity and deceit and even corruption. Congress should treat the FBI the same as all other law enforcement agencies. It
eliminating a special and giving its employees access to OSC to investigate retaliation. The hardworking of the employees of the FBI deserve equal protection. The FBI's latest troubling practice is suspending security clearances to retaliate against whistleblowers. Mr. Friend and Mr. Allen, along with Mr. O'Boyle, are just some public examples of this trend. When the FBI suspends a clearance, it also immediately suspends the employee indefinitely, without pay. To make matters worse, it holds them and their families hostage by requiring them to get permission to take another job, which the FBI routinely denies. Congress needs to ensure the FBI stops this abuse. In light of all these obstacles for FBI whistleblowers, you would think Congress would do everything to welcome their disclosures here. But FBI employees coming to Congress have unfortunately been shamefully treated by Democrats on this committee. It's one thing to hear allegations and find them unpersuasive or even distasteful. An office can even ignore those allegations if they choose. That's their prerogative. But to go out and actively smear the individuals making disclosures is far worse. That's what the Democrats committee did when they released a March 2nd report entitled GOP Witnesses, What Their Disclosures Indicate About the State of the Republican Investigations. That report was inaccurate, both on the law and on the facts. The law doesn't define the term whistleblower. Instead, it protects from retaliation individuals who engage in protected activity. For over a century, simply making disclosures of any information to Congress has been a protected activity. Furthermore, an appropriations rider in effect at this time prohibits money from paying the salary of any federal employee who prohibits or prevents any other federal employee, such as FBI whistleblowers, from communicating with Congress. The Democrats' report denied whistleblower status to individuals engaged in the precise activity the legislative branch has considered protected since 1912. The report's reliance on evidence for whistleblower status is also misplaced. Simply communicating a reasonable belief of conduct is protected whistleblower activity under the law. This applies regardless of whether the whistleblower produces evidence at that time backing up their allegations. Only protecting whistleblower disclosures accompanied by conclusive evidence that the Democrats seem to require would have disastrous consequences for retaliation throughout the federal government. My experience working for Congress was that whistleblowers brought allegations, and when committees found those allegations worthy of further follow-up and congressional action, we conducted investigations. No one expects a private citizen to investigate a crime before going to the police. We didn't expect a whistleblower to investigate their own agency. That's also essentially how the law for remedying retaliation through the MSPB is set up, where making a non-frivolous allegation leads to discovery, interviews, and more. Simply put, the burden isn't on the whistleblower to produce the evidence at the outset. That's why there's an investigative process. The Democrats' report also got the facts wrong. For example, they claim DOJ IG declined to investigate Mr. Friend's claim, when in fact DOJ IG will be interviewing Mr. Friend tomorrow and has an ongoing investigation. DOJ IG says no one from the Democrat staff ever contacted their office to verify this claim before issuing their report. Inexcusably, a number of mainstream media sources simply repeated the Democrats' wrong information uncritically without bothering to check the facts for themselves, which is why there are multiple retractions. FBI whistleblowers have traveled a hard road over the years. They should be treated by Congress the same as other whistleblowers. Issuing reports smearing those who come forward from the FBI will unquestionably deter others from taking that same path. Congress must have firsthand information about how federal agencies are operating to perform its constitutional duty of oversight. Why would future whistleblowers bring disclosures to Congress if they think they might be treated like this? This committee and others, the House of Representatives, and Congress. Thank you.
Mr. Levitt, Chair recognizes the young lady from Wyoming.
All right. Well, we heard it from whistleblowers, but they don't count. They, you know, they're, that just goes to show who's running that fucking show, doesn't it? Wow. We live in some fucked up times, folks. We really, really do. Yeah. And there ain't no legitimacy no more. Even the controllers don't want to control us are criminal. So, you know, they can't really say nothing. That's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? If you break the law, it's okay for them, but it ain't okay for you. I think I said it much all the time. Yep, I did. It's okay for them, but it ain't okay for you. God damn it. So, what do you expect? But anyway, I tell you what, Gunn, I'm going to jump out of here. It's a slow night on the farm, and we'll see how that impeachment shit develops, and then we'll go from there. You know, because, I mean, it's coming. It's got to come. It's got to happen. You know, there's no other way. There's no other way that we can go through this shit. It's going to be the death of this country. It's going to be the fucking end real quick. But anyway, I want to thank Gunn for coming out. Nobody else, but and of course there are those listeners out there's archives and that stuff. Thanks for coming to the show tonight. But anyway, we'll see you probably tomorrow night, which will be Friday, and we'll party again. So I will see you guys then. Have a good night, folks. See you later.
Fly away, yeah, yeah.